Hi, everyone, and welcome to AB Conversations, where we will help you CFP your way out of it, a podcast where you get into the minds of a couple certified financial planners on how we think and feel about everyday financial planning questions and what should really matter most to you. A healthier financial life starts now.
Hey, Adam, that's a very nice red shirt you have on today.
Thank you. And that is a very nice blue shirt you have on, Benjamin.
Very passive color. The other end of the spectrum, I think red is kind of like it's defined as like a power color. Like you're exuding power today.
Yep, that's me. Always powerful.
Yeah. Seriously, I think it's actually a color of energy. I think that's how it's kind of defined, but it can come across as an aggressive color too, so...
I'm going to let my shirt down on all sorts of fronts today.
Well, look, we usually bring the energy to these podcasts. Today will be no different. I think we've kind of gotten into a groove on talking about client situations and a lot of the human side of what we do. We had an interesting conversation last week about a potential client that came to us, and we typically on the front end get a real deep look into who they are just by net worth and cash flow statements. So I thought it'd be good today, as financial planners, putting the behavioral finance side of things in a little box today. Let's talk about just real technical stuff.
Yeah.
Net worth, what is it? Why is it important to financial planning, and how do we talk about it? Those would be my three things for today.
Yeah, it's like that we're now switching gears from the behavioral side of things, the human side, to like the nuts and bolts of some numbers and situations.
Yeah.
So I like that. I think I likened it to, you know, when you said we can kind of get a feel for people, you know, based off of, you know, the net worth and the cash flow.
Yeah.
I likened that to, you know, going to the doctor and they take your temperature, they take your pulse, you know, a doctor can get a feel very quickly if something's out of whack or not, or if, you know, things are in good working order. And I think similarly for us, that's how we view at least these two items at a very high level. So let's just start with the baseline of what the heck even is net worth, what makes that up, and then we can talk about what it actually means. So at its basest form, net worth is just made up of your assets minus your liabilities or your debt. So assets being, you know, your home, your savings, any investments, collectibles, anything like that that truly has value, and then subtract any debts, right? Mortgage, student loans, car loans, credit cards, anything like that. You get to that final number, and hopefully that's a positive number.
Yes. And I think that's why we track that as financial planners, right? Because it is really a measuring stick of financial health. You know, so to your point, starting out early in life, maybe that's not a big number. Maybe it is negative. But that really sets the tone for how we give advice, right? It's okay it's natural. You have to take on some debt. You have to borrow some money to do some things early in life. Right. Mm-hmm. I don't know a whole lot of people that can just buy a $250,000 or $500,000 home with cash when they're starting out in life. You have to borrow that. But that's very different as a liability to us, right? Backed by an asset, collateralized by a future asset, than going out and putting a lot of money on credit cards or things of that nature. So it is a measuring stick early in life, but it's also a measuring stick at the end of life, right? We talk about estate taxation. When someone passes away, and those formulas, whether it's at the state level or the federal level, are based on what are all the things you own versus what are some of the things that you still owe.
Yeah. And I guess that's one of the key components is that, when it comes to taxes, certainly income taxes is something everybody is familiar with, unfortunately. But the other side of that is the estate tax world, and there's proposals right now that those numbers may change, but yes, that is definitely a let's call it a hard line when it comes to those equations. All of your assets, add them all up, and the government is going to make some conclusions or some taxation based off of those numbers.
So I think that's why it's really important as financial planners that we do articulate assets as like everything you own. I think in the investment management world, you get so tied up in what do you have to invest? What do you have in savings? And that kind of being its own measuring stick, right? There are lots of institutions out there that won't even work with you if you don't have X amount of investable assets. In our case, it really is to make sure that we're efficiently leveraging all assets in our life, whether that is property or businesses, arts, collectibles, private equity in something. There are so many different ways that people go about building net worth that it's important for us as planners to be able to speak to all of it and recognize that as a part of your financial plan.
Yeah, and I think what you just said there is the key, right? Not all net worths are created equal. Right. You could have two people, with the exact same net worth made up of very different assets. Maybe some are, maybe you have somebody that has several, you know, rental properties that may not be liquid as opposed to somebody else that may just have everything. All of their net worth is, you know, savings and investments. So two different ways to get to the same number, but it may not, the real life experience may be very different based on the makeup.
Yes. So thank you for going there. Because that's kind of the whole point here that I think it, us using it as a measuring stick is important for overall financial health, but everything we talk about in financial planning goes back to what does it need to do for you? Right. Yes. So I think I used this example recently. If you have $1 million net worth, and part of that is you own your home. You've got this beautiful round numbers, $500,000 property with farmland around here or lots of acreage around here in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. You've got $500,000 then in the bank. And to tie this into a retirement plan, we use the 4% rule withdrawal. Now you've got $500,000, 4% withdrawal. You're living off of $20,000 of income from that portfolio. You're a millionaire by net worth standards.
Right.
But do you feel rich spending $20,000 a year off your
probably not
assets? So that net worth is very different than, hey, I don't own a property, I'm paying rent maybe somewhere, but I've got $1 million in the bank and now I'm spending $40,000 or $50,000 a year. Just to illustrate your point, not all net worths are created equal depending on what do you really want it to be doing for you.
And I think that last question is so critical, right? It's when it comes to planning, and we talked about this umpteenth number, I don't know, too many times already before.
Run with it. Be strong, be powerful with that red color. Speak confident.
Yeah. My vocabulary is great. That it's all relative, right? Everyone's situation can be slightly different. So the assets that they need or the makeup of what they have can all serve different purposes. And our goal here, I think, for most people is just to efficiently align the assets that they have with the values and but then actually what are they looking to accomplish? And let's just make sure that the assets that they've accumulated are going to fulfill that need over time and that there isn't a mismatch there.
Yeah. So my mind goes to, we can use this as almost like a conversation starter, right? So for somebody younger in life, we're really looking to track their net worth over time to show progress, right? It's not just a snapshot in time. Where you start in life is not where you want to end. Yeah. So paying down debt, saving on a regular basis, and then hopefully seeing assets grow. Those are three ways that you're moving your net worth in a positive direction. And it can also be a measuring stick for them earlier in life on when you take on debt, really, are you doing it responsibly? Because every payment that you take on is now less money that you can have saved or less money that is really being utilized for other future goals. So it's not just that net worth number, but it's that net worth number and how does it tie into your cash flow?
Yeah. So even in the scenario where, you take on more debt, obviously, if you're paying that from your income and cash flow, then there's less to be saved. Or let's just say you do have some savings and maybe you're using a portion of that to help pay some debt. That just means those eggs that your golden geese are producing, that you're eating them now and not letting those eggs turn into more geese in the future retirement.
Yeah. Bingo. right? And we're not alone in being the only financial institutions that would talk about this, right? Debt to income ratio is something that's used by banks to make sure that you are not borrowing more than you should relative to your income. But with this often comes up, and I know we've done recent podcasts on property ownership, right? That if you're trying to own something so that you're creating an income stream with rental income, right?
Right.
It still is to say that you have an asset and you have a debt, and maybe that's zeroing out and you're getting a rental income. Mm-hmm. But it is, again, is that the best use of your money for what you ultimately want to see? And that is probably later in life having a paycheck that's recreated from savings or properties or something of that nature and not by your earned income. So
yeah,
let's flip. I'm kind of leading into it's asset accumulation. Don't take on too much debt. As you approach retirement, it's turning net worth into income, I think, right?
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I feel like we just did a podcast recently on just recreating that retirement paycheck, right? How do you now take everything that you've accumulated, all of these different assets, all different types, all different, you know, in retirement accounts, not in retirement accounts, property, whatever it may be. How do I now flip the switch to now living off of what I've accumulated, my nest egg? And I'll give the example, right? When we said even not all assets that make up net worth are equal, run the scenario where someone wants to retire early, right?
Yeah.
Pre-fifth, and we say early just based off of IRS law, 59 and a half is the earliest that you can get access to a traditional retirement account without a 10% penalty. So in that scenario, let's say someone can retire early, wants to pull the plug at 55, but the majority of their net worth is now tied up in a retirement account that they can't get access to without a penalty. That may not be the best spot for them to be saving if that is their goal or what they're looking to try to hit.
Yeah, so I didn't even know that you were going to go there, and it's a really solid point. Like where you save and where you have your net worth is important, right? We'll go back to the example from last week too. Now I'm kind of like in the mode of retirement. Here we've got a gentleman and his wife who have looked to downsize, right? They've sold their home, but now maybe looking to buy into a retirement community. And while they have, by my estimation, I mean, tell me if you feel differently, they have a decent net worth for their age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Half of it is tied up in an annuity that they chose to purchase right out of retirement to create a consistent income stream for them, right? It was important at that time. But now having a lump sum asset to buy into this community without that annuity would be a really stressful thing for them. So it really is not just to take a look at that net worth, but to your point, it's to take a look at what is that net worth made of. And for us, it often comes down to what is liquid and what is not.
Yeah, I was going to say it's liquidity is the key when it comes to matching up, you know, those assets of your net worth to what it can actually do for you in the future. It's can you get access to it? Can it provide an income stream? Something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does it mean? What do we mean by liquidity?
That you can actually get access to it and turn it into cash that is spendable in less than 30 days, reliably, right? You could have a house and theoretically you could put it on the market and you could sell it. And in this market, currently, maybe you could get something in less than 30 days, but realistically, in any normal market environment, if you really, truly needed cash, listing your house and hoping for the best may not be, you know, what we would say immediately liquid.
Yeah. I mean, you've moved in your life. How fun is it to move in less than 30 days?
Oh man, I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Liquidating a business, liquidating rental properties, right? These are things we wouldn't consider completely liquid. So,
right.
I don't know. I had the thought too, to talk about net worth kind of at the end of life. I know I mentioned earlier, it's definitely a measuring stick for taxes, estate taxes, inheritance taxes. But I think we often are fortunate to work with people that get close to the end of life and they go, hey, I'd really like to start gifting things in these last 20 years of my life, 10 years of my life. What can I afford to gift away based on my net worth? And we use that as a measuring stick too.
Yeah. So I feel like the theme I keep using here is not all things are created equal. So even when it comes to late in life and gifting, there are certainly different types of assets depending on where it's going. There are just, it usually comes down to taxability, right? And the and yeah, the gifting fair. Rules. What the most efficient way to whatever that dollar amount is to get either the charity or the person that value with the least amount of tax impact from the IRS. So for example, if you're gifting to actual individuals, human beings, cash right. is not a bad way to go. When it comes to charitable giving, if you have appreciated stock, something like that, that you can avoid some taxes and the end result to the charity is still the same. They're going to get that same value. That's not a bad road to go down.
So I feel like net worth for us as planners is kind of this like huge curve of life. Like we start out with nothing, you know, borrowing a lot of money, then you get to retirement. You got to feel like, hey, I can confidently rely on this net worth for as long as I live. But in an ideal world for us, because there are a lot of estate taxes out there, you know, you've either spent it down to a reasonable amount. We make the joke all the time. You mm-hmm. bounce your last check here on earth. You did it right. or if gifting or charitable gifts are a part of what you want to see happen, it's to make sure that we don't run out too soon. So,
right.
You know, net worth over different phases of life. I think the way that you put it to kick this off, it's a good measure of health for us relative to your phase of life, which is why it's something that we'll track with somebody on an annual basis, right? It's a report in every financial plan that we write.
Right. Correct.
So I guess that means we have to talk about like cash flow in our next podcast. Hint, hint, question mark, maybe.
Sounds great.
So I'll wear the red shirt in the next one so that I can confidently sweet. Talk about it.
What if I wear white? Does that mean I'm just like giving up?
No, it means you'll just blur into the background of your then podcast background here.
Yeah, I won't do that then. Bold colors only.
Hopefully there's a lot of good that comes out about talking about, you know, a very fundamental thing here. And I know that we say this all too often. Do you have a healthy net worth? You know, is it going in the right direction? Well, it depends. It does all come mm-hmm. back to financial planning and what do you need it to do for you. But there definitely are some simple rules of thumb on how we would talk about net worth. And hopefully we hit on them today.
Yes. Well said.
Great.
All right.
Thanks for the help again. Hopefully,
till next time.
You have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your day in your red shirt.
Thanks. And to all of you listening out there, enjoy your day.
Hey everyone, Adam and I really appreciate you tuning in. Please note that the opinions we voiced in the show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be most appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, your accountant, and financial advisor or tax advisor prior to making any decisions or investing. Thanks for listening.